Recently, Freedom Scientific has released its first edition of An Open Book. Of course, it's Open Book version 5, but it was formerly an Arkenstone product. This is the first release to come out under the Freedom Scientific banner. They've released a version of this as a timed evaluation, so you can download it and you can use it for 30 days unrestricted. After those 30 days, An Open Book won't run anymore. I presume that there is a way to purchase the fully registered version and unlock your timed evaluation. Now, this download is not for the faint of heart, and it's probably not for the modem connected among us, unless, of course, you want to leave it on for some considerable time, because it clocks in at a pretty hefty 87 megabytes from the Freedom Scientific website. I have a DSL connection, and it didn't take too long at all to download it. I was getting a very good throughput from their FTP site. So I actually have An Open Book's timed evaluation on the hard disk now. I should emphasize that I'm not a competent user of An Open Book. The last time I had a look at it was version 3-something, and it was at a place I used to work. I don't own An Open Book, and so this review is very much exploratory. Also, it is not an attempt to compare An Open Book against any other product that is on the market. Those comparisons have to be carried out in a very sophisticated way with objective measurements, and so we may do that sometime, but the dueling scanners event at CSUN seems to do a very good job of that. So what we're really doing here is just exploring An Open Book, giving you a taste of what's in there, and I'm learning as we go. Now, I understand that this is supposed to have a self-talking install, so I've unloaded all screen readers and I'm going to run the program now and see exactly what happens. So we're going to do a Windows key and R to bring up the run dialog, and in my case I'm going to type /download/OB5 timed and press enter. That's the name of the file. But I'm not able to get any speech, so I'm just going to bring up a screen reader. In this case, I'll bring up WindowEyes, and we'll see what's going on the screen.
WindowEyes 4.0.6 edit
box equals unzip folder C Windows temp. Okay, so the install did not talk straight out of the box for me. It's giving me an unzip to prompt, and it's going to unzip it into C:\Windows\temp, so I'll hit enter to accept that. So I guess, at least for the timed evaluation, you're not going to get speech instantly. Let's hit enter to do that. And it's now busily unzipping into my Windows temp directory, or folder, to use the modern Windows terminology. We'll just take a bit of a pause while it unzips.
Dialog. WinZip self extractor. Graphic. 932 files unzipped successfully. Default. Okay. Button. Okay. Button.
And that took a while, and it unzipped over 900 files, so this is a big thing. We'll just hit enter to accept the okay button.
Dialog. WinZip self extractor op5.exe. Graphic. To unzip all files in op5.exe is specified. Folder press the unzip button. U equals unzip. Button. W equals run WinZip. Button. F equals unzip to folder. V equals browse. Dialog. Button. C Windows temp. Default. C.
Okay, so we're now back into the unzip program.
V equals browse. Edit box. F. O equals overwrite.
We'll just get out of here by hitting the escape key.
Untitled cool edit.
And that's taken us out of WinZip. So now we can presumably
Windows
shut down our screen reader.
Okay.
And I think it's a reasonably safe bet to hit Windows R for run and type /Windows\temp\setup, and we'll see what we get. That was beautiful, wasn't it? There's still some.
We found evidence of a screen reader on your hard drive. Do you want to use our talking install anyway? If you do, press Y. Otherwise, just press Enter.
Yes, I'm going to hit Y to accept that I want to do the talking install, because I want to see what it's like. Now there's some more hard disk activity.
Desktop. Open Book Setup Welcome Dialog. Welcome to the Open Book Setup Program. This program will install Open Book on your computer. It is strongly recommended that you exit all Windows programs, Before running the setup program, click Cancel to quit setup, and then close any programs you have running. Click Next to continue with the setup program. Warning, this program is protected by copyright law and international treaties. Unauthorized reproduction or distribution of this program, or any portion of it, may result in severe civil and criminal penalties, and will be prosecuted to the maximum extent possible under law. Next button.
Well, that's interesting. It's a very fascinating choice of eloquence voice that they've used for the install. But I'm over the next button. It's interesting also to note that they haven't really modified too many of the prompts for this install, so it says click the next button. And I imagine that for some people who are not savvy computer users, who perhaps don't even have a screen reader and hear that, may get a bit nervous. But anyway, we will hit enter because we know that that will activate the next button.
Enter. User information dialog, type your name below. You must also type the name of your organization or your city in the product serial number. Use the tab key to navigate between fields. If the serial number is entered incorrectly, you will be asked for it again. Name edit Jonathan Mosen.
Oh, well, it knows me. How lovely.
Tab. Company edit.
And we'll just put...
O-U-T space O-F space I-G-A-T tab. Serial edit time evaluation.
That suits me fine for the moment.
Tab. Back button. Tab. Next button.
All right, we get there.
Space. Software license agreement dialog. Please read the following license agreement. You can use the arrow keys to navigate the license agreement or press insert plus down arrow to have it read aloud.
I
see. To install Open Book, you must accept all of the terms
of
the license agreement.
Stop the recording while I listen to the license agreement. Okay, I've read the license agreement, and the mentioning of the insert down arrow interested me, because that's obviously a JAWS command, and so I wonder if I hit the top right key on my number pad.
JAWS cursor.
Well, look at that. We have a little version of JAWS running here.
PC cursor.
That's quite interesting. I wonder if I just Alt-Tab around.
Alt-Tab. An Alt-Software license of Alt-Untitled
Alt-Software.
Okay, so
I've got CoolEdit, which I'm using to record this, and the reason for that, by the way, is that it's a bit less CPU intensive than SoundForge, and we don't actually have JAWS on the screen as such. I wonder if I do an insert J.
Context menu. File.
Yes, we do have a, we do have a kind of a JAWS.
Menu. Run JAWS from system tray.
That's fascinating. So we have a version of JAWS in here.
Run JAWS from system, run JAWS from system.
All we have is a file menu.
Run JAWS first grade. Keyboard. Exit. Run JAWS from system tray checked.
And that's basically what we have, so that's very interesting. Anyway, we'll get on with it.
Tab. Yes button.
I accept the license agreement.
Space. Setup type dialog. Choose the type of setup you prefer, then choose next. You can always rerun the install to add or change the settings. Typical radio button CHECKED 1 of 2 program will be automatically installed with the most common options. This will place your program in the standard directory on your C drive. Recommended for most new and upgrading users. It is easy to come back and choose custom items later.
Well, I don't like typical installs because I like to have as much control as possible over what goes on, so let's have fun and choose the custom one. I'll hit the down arrow key.
Custom radio button checked. 2 of 2, you will be prompted to make a choice on each of the installation options. Recommended for advanced users. It also includes setting up multiple synthesizers and configuration of launchable programs.
Well, that's a very nice feature, that when you choose the radio button, there's an additional explanation there that tells you exactly what's going to happen if you choose one or other of these two options that you have. So very nice. Let's hit enter to accept the custom install.
Enter. Installation help dialog. You will need to make selections in the installation. The screen explains how to navigate and make some of these choices. Like most of the installation choices, you can just press the Enter key and the install will do the most likely option. If you want to review the options, use the up and down arrow keys. This will show you what is in the list. If you want to select an item, press the space bar. Some options only allow one choice. Choosing an item means that the item that was selected will be unselected. Other areas allow multiple choices. It's possible to silence the talking install by tapping the control key. To hear a description of the dialog box, press N plus B. Next button.
Very nice. Let's hit enter.
Enter. Open book setup. SSIL driver selection dialog. Choose the SSIL drivers to use with open book. You may choose as many different drivers as you like. Note that these replace drivers chosen in earlier installations, so if you want to keep any previously installed speech drivers, you must select them again here. List box check via voice out loud.
So they've got an SSIL driver for via voice out loud, or maybe not, but that's what it seems to imply. Well, we'll leave that.
Top of check box not checked. Accent PC.
Now we have a usual series of choices. I want to see if, even though I don't think it's an SSIL driver, if the DeckTalk XS32 is here.
D.
Well, certainly pressing D doesn't get me to it. Let me page down.
Page down. Checkbox not checked Braille Mate.
We've got a way to go yet, but I might just install my Braille Lite as a synthesizer just in case I ever get really stuck. It's not the best speech in the world by any means, but you never know.
Checkbox not checked. Cyber 200. Checkbox not checked. Braille and Speak Plus, Spanish. Checkbox not checked. Braille and Speak, Spanish. Checkbox not checked. Braille and Speak, Braille Lite, Type and Speak.
That's the one we want.
Space. Checkbox check Braille and Speak, Braille Lite, Type and Speak.
Okay. Let's see if we can find anything else I need. I'll hit a K for keynote.
K.
No, hitting the first letter is not taking me to the item. And I'm sure...
Tab. Clear all but ship tab. List box check.
And it's a list box, so it should be. That doesn't make life terribly easy, but we'll just page down through here.
Page down. Check box not check cyber to page down. Check box not check double top piece.
Alright, we'll just go upwards.
Check box not checked. Dolphin. Check box not checked. Dolphin, checkbox not checked. DeckTalk PC or PC 2, checkbox not checked. DeckTalk Express, checkbox not checked. DeckTalk Express, checkbox not checked. Deck Access 32.
That is indeed what I want, so I'm going to hit the space bar.
Space. Checkbox check Deck Access 32.
And now we'll go down further. I think the next one that I personally want is the keynote. So page down a few times.
Checkbox not checked PC Tablato. Spec. Checkbox not checked. Triple talk. Page up.
Oh, we've gone way past.
Checkbox not checked reading edge on com. Page up. Checkbox not checked multi-voice on com 2.
While I'm around the M's, I'll just see if they have support for the Microsoft text-to-speech engine.
Checkbox not checked. Checkbox not checked. Microsoft Savvy.
Yes, well, I want that. That's good.
Space. Checkbox not checked Microsoft Savvy. Space. Checkbox not checked my space. Checkbox not checked.
Well, it's... When I'm hitting the space bar, it's giving me a not checked status all the time. I'll just up and down arrow away from it.
Checkbox not checked.
Well, for some reason, it's not letting me choose Microsoft Savvy. Perhaps that's because I've got... Via voice out loud selected. I'm not quite sure why that would be.
Checkbox not checked. Infobox 500. Checkbox not checked. Keynote Gold PC, SA or VC.
That's...
Space. Checkbox fine. Not checked Keynote...
Well, again, I hit the space bar and it said checkbox not checked, so I have no idea whether that is selected or not. But those are the synthesizers I want, and we will now...
Tab.
Perhaps there's a limit on how many you can select.
Tab. Back button. Tab. Next button.
And we'll choose the next button.
Enter SSIL driver selection dialog. Choose the SSIL driver you want to use as your default driver. You will be able to switch to any of the other drivers from within OpenBook. List box checked via voice out loud. Checkbox not checked. Braille and Speak. Checkbox not checked. Deck Access. Checkbox not checked. Keynote Gold PC.
Okay, so the keynote's there.
Checkbox not checked. Microsoft Savvy.
And so is the Microsoft. So clearly there is some problem there with the announcement of checkboxes in the install. Let's just go up.
Checkbox not checked. Deck Access.
That's the one I want as my default.
Space. Checkbox
checked. That's checked, and we hit enter.
Enter. Launchable application selection dialog. Choose one of the options below for setting up launchable applications. It's a run from the tools menu with an open book. List box checkbox check setup standard launchable applications now.
Alright, let's see what else we have.
Checkbox not checked. Customize launchable setup. Checkbox not checked. Set up launchable applications later.
Oh well, let's do them now.
Checkbox checked. Set up.
And we'll choose that default one, which is to set up launchable applications now and see what happens. We'll hit enter.
Enter. Dialog searching for launchable applications may take a few minutes.
Well, if it takes too long, we'll pause things.
Launchable application selection dialog. Choose any application to set for access from OpenBook. These applications will appear on the tools menu as options. List box check Microsoft Word Windows.
Well, that did indeed take quite some time, but of course we do have CoolEdit running in the background. One potential problem is that when something takes that long, sometimes an inexperienced user may need reassurance that things are still okay, particularly with some of the quieter hard disks these days. There really was no status message spoken, but it is now done, and Microsoft Word is checked. We'll leave it checked and just move through the options.
Checkbox checked. WordPad. Checkbox checked. Turbo Braille.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know I had that. I wonder what that's referring to, because I certainly haven't got Turbo Braille on my hard disk.
Bottom of window.
Anyway, we'll continue. We'll hit enter.
Enter. Choose destination location dialog. Setup will install OpenBook in the following folder. To install to this folder, click next. To install to a different folder, click browse and select another folder. You can choose not to install OpenBook by clicking cancel to exit setup. See /OpenBook5 next button.
That's fine.
Enter. Select program folder dialog. Setup will add program icons to the program folder listed below. You may type a new folder name or select one from the existing folders list. Click next to continue. Program folders edit OpenBook 5.0.
That sounds like a logical enough choice, so I'll hit enter to accept that.
Enter. Summary of installation choices dialog. You made the following installation choices. OpenBook. Installation choices registered to Jonathan Mosen, out of sight. Time Diva via voice out loud will be installed. Synthesizer driver is deck access 32. The number of launchables chosen was 3. Installation path is C/OpenBook5. Selected folder is OpenBook 5.0. Finish button.
Alright, I'll hit enter and let it do its thing.
Enter. Dialog. Please wait while the installation copies all of the needed files. Cancel button. Question dialog. Installation complete. Would you like to view the README file now? Note you can use the arrows to navigate the README file, or press Insert plus down arrow to have it read aloud. To exit the README file, hold the Alt key down, followed by the F4 key. This will return you to the Install. Yes button.
Well, I'll have a look at that README file a little later. In the meantime,
Tab. No button.
We'll say no.
Space. OpenBook setup. Setup complete dialog. If you haven't already done so, be sure to install your scanner before using OpenBook to scan pages. Choose Finish to complete setup. Remove any disks from their drives. And then click Finish to complete setup. Yes, I want to restart my computer now. Radio button checked 1 of 2.
It's going to restart my computer before we can have a good play with OpenBook, which is pretty standard for this sort of a major installation, so I'm going to do that. Before I do, I'm going to save this part of the recording, and we'll come back and put OpenBook through its paces. Now we have restarted the computer, and we're back recording again, and I have WindowEyes running. I'm going to go into the Start menu.
Start menu.
And just explore the OpenBook.
O equals OpenBook 5.0 program.
Program group.
O equals OpenBook 5.0.
So that's obviously the item that will launch the main application.
O equals OpenBook README.
and the README file that I didn't read before, which I should do at some point.
O equals output 5.0.
And that's all we have, so pretty simple a number of choices there. I'm just going to see if there's been a shortcut key automatically assigned to this program. We'll just go into the properties here.
Menu
and tab through the properties.
A equals shortcut key. None.
That's good.
None.
I do find it annoying when a program unilaterally assigns a shortcut key that I've already assigned to something else, and next thing you know, you push a key and you get something completely different, as Monty Python would say. So let's go into OpenBook and see what happens.
Menu closed. Button. Standard box. Dialogue.
Well, I've managed to silence both things now. Clearly there's a way of telling WindowWise to be silent when OpenBook is running, but in the meantime I'm just going to push WindowWise's control panel key and exit.
Trial usage meter, 30 days remaining.
Well, that's good. I've got 30 days remaining. Now we're in an open book, and it may well have given me a message that I...
Okay. Purchase. Cancel.
Oh, that's very nice, so I can purchase it from here.
Trial usage meter, 30 days remaining. Okay.
I'll hit the OK button.
Out of dialogue. Welcome to OpenBook version 5.0. Press the scan key to scan.
And DeckTalk has come up, as I asked it to in the configuration, and it tells me to press the scan key to scan. Which is fair enough. I'm going to have to learn about this application, and I'm not going to have you sit with me while I learn about it, but we will explore the menu bar. The last time I used an open book, which was of course before Ruby Edition, they didn't have a standard menu bar. They do now, and so we'll just tap the Alt key.
File. Edit. Scan. View. Tools. Settings. Low vision. Window. Help.
So that's quite a comprehensive menu bar across the top of the screen. Let's briefly explore some of these menus.
Out of the menus.
And we'll just tap it again.
File.
And we'll go into the File menu.
New. Open. Close. Save. Save as. Save pages. Inactive. Library. Print. Inactive. Print setup. Document properties. Recent file list. Inactive. Exit. New.
So that's a fairly typical file menu. If I just go into the New option.
New document. No pages. No pages. No pages.
Alright, so it just says New Document, and when I hit the arrow keys, it says No Pages. On the Edit menu.
File. Edit. Edit mode.
So you have to... I've seen reference to this in different lists. You have to go into the Edit mode to actually edit the document. You can't just, as I understand it, start typing away. It's a bit like being in a review mode by default and having to, you've got to turn edit mode on to start manipulating the document if you want to use any of those edit features.
Undo, inactive, cut, inactive, copy, paste, inactive, delete, inactive, select all on current page, inactive, find, replace text, inactive, go to page, inactive, number pages, inactive, insert bookmark. Delete bookmark, enact, go to bookmark, enact, delete exact view, enact, insert page break, enact, delete page break, and move page, inactive, delete current page, inactive, edit mode.
So, a lot of options there, and fairly standard. I guess if you've used the Kurzweil 1000 before and not open book, you'll be familiar with quite a few of those similar
menus.
Concepts.
File, edit, scan.
Let's have a look at the scan menu.
Scan a page.
Alright, so... presumably, if I put a page on the scanner, I mean, I haven't done any configuration or anything, but if I put a page on the scanner, I'll just put, for the current sake of things, one page of a book on my scanner, and I'm going to hit enter and see what happens. Well, it's made its error noise, and it's also making a kind of a faint noise over the keyboard speaker. I suspect that could be because I used to have an HP scanner, and I now have an Acer scanner, and I think some residue from the HP scanner is still on my hard disk and is probably being seen as the default. However, I have now lost all speech. I'm just going to hit enter to see if that gets me out of any sort of dialogue that might be up on the screen.
Scanning has been cancelled.
Alright.
Page 1.
So, I still don't have my menus back. I'm just hitting enter and escape and trying to... I really have lost all speech. I'm just going to try and hit Alt F4 to get out of it. I can't do that. Can I go to the file menu? No, I can't. I'm not sure what to do, so I'm going to have to bring up a screen reader here. We'll bring WindowEyes back up and have a look.
WindowEyes 4.0 Brace 6 read only, edit box page 1. Read only, edit box page 1. Dialogue. Scanning has been cancelled. Graphic. 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 Scanning image. Checkbox. Checked. Page 1. Graphic. Preparing image. Checkbox. Unchecked. C equals cancel scan. Button. Disabled. Graphic. Recognizing text. Checkbox. Unchecked. WindowEyes. Arrow.
Okay.
Untitled cool. Desk in the second. WindowEyes. Scanning has been untitled cool. Edit. Desk in the second. Twin error.
And indeed it has come up with a disk scan the second error.
Oh, dialogue. Page 1.
Okay, now we have speech back in open book, so that's fine. I'm not too worried about
Windows
that because,
okay.
As I say, I've got a bit of an unusual situation here, but it would have been nice to have not lost the speech in that way. If I didn't have a screen reader, I might not have been able to get out of that. But then again, if I didn't have a screen reader, I probably wouldn't have had such a complicated setup. So let's go back and have a look at the scan menu.
Scan, scan a page. Scan and replace current page. Inactive. Scan and insert new page. Inactive. Scan preview. Bug scan. Recognize columns. Checked. Color scanning. Two page scanning. Scan for accuracy. Checked. Scan for speed.
So we'll have a look at some of these options a little later.
Scan a page.
So that's the scan
menu.
Out of
the menus. File. Scan. View.
And in the view menu.
Show exact view. Inactive. Status bar. Check. Zoom exact view. Page scrolling. Show exact view. Inactive. Out
this
of the menu.
View menu.
File. Scan. View. Tools.
Now we have the tools menu.
Spell check. Spell word. Spell word phonetically. Word count. Dictionary. Thesaurus. Key settings on. Pronunciation dictionary. OCR correction. Email.
Well, we'll have, of course, a good look at the email, which is a new feature of an open book.
Start page description. Inactive. Enter guided layout mode. Inactive. Enter explore layout mode. Inactive. Change speech driver. 1. Word. 2. Word pad. 3. Turbo Braille. Spell check.
Alright, that's
out
the tools
the
menu.
File. Scan. View. Tools. Settings.
And here we have settings, where I hopefully will be able to make it talk to my scanner.
Save the settings. Retrieve settings. Delete settings. Speech on. Checked. Speech settings, visual settings, scanning settings.
These are scanning settings. I expect to be able to address my problem here.
Scanning settings, scanning mode, scan and read.
And the other options we have?
Scan and background.
I'm just down-arrowing through these.
Large match, match and background, express match, image only, fax files, orientation only, express match and background.
So there's quite a few.
Scan and read.
We'll just set it back to scan and read.
Scanning contrast. Automatic contrast.
That's fine. And we also have...
Normal contrast. Darken page. Lighten page. 0, 1, 2.
And then we can set our contrast level.
Automatic
we'll
contrast.
Set it to automatic contrast for the moment.
Page orientation. Automatic.
Now, what other options do we have?
Normal. Sideways. Upside down. Sideways, upside down.
Alright.
Automatic.
We'll set it to automatic.
Scanning resolution, 300 dots per inch. 400 dots. 300.
And we've got 300 and 400 dots per inch for the scanning resolution.
Recognize columns, checked.
So that's a checkbox. And if we hit the F1 key, let's just check out the context sensitive help.
When recognize columns is on, OpenBook will automatically format the page according to a logical reading sequence. It interprets and organizes columns, headers, footers, captions, and tables. It will read all of column 1, then column 2, and then column 3. You will usually want this setting turned on. If the page does not make sense, you can try turning off recognize columns. OpenBook will then format and read the page exactly as it appears in print. Use the spacebar to check or uncheck this item.
That is excellent context-sensitive help.
Recognize columns, checked. Color scanning, unchecked.
Now, what is that? We'll just ask it by hitting F1.
Select this item to scan pages that include color text or color pictures. Black and white text and pictures will continue to be scanned in black and white. Color scanning takes significantly longer, so you should only select this item if you want to retain the color in the original pages. Use the spacebar to check or uncheck this item. Color scanning unchecked. Keep exact view unchecked.
Now, again, what does the exact view do?
The exact view displays the scanned page on the screen just as it is in the original document, including any graphics, line art, tables, columns, and other elements that affect how the page looks. Files that include exact view are much larger than those that don't, so if you don't want to use the exact view, keep this item off. Use the spacebar to check or uncheck this item. Keeping two-page scanning unchecked.
Well, that's pretty clear that you can put two pages on the scanner at one time and have an open book differentiate between the pages.
Scan with page layout elements unchecked.
Now, what's that?
Select this checkbox to have open book collect page description elements when it scans a page. Page description elements are headers, footers, columns, headings, text blocks, tables, and pictures. When you scan a document with page description checked, you can use open book's page layout features to find out how many of each item are on the page and what order they are in. This can be very useful for getting an idea of what is on the page. Open book takes longer to recognize pages when it is collecting page description elements, therefore the default setting for this item is unchecked.
It's a very nice feature. We will try and get back to that to investigate it further.
Scan with the view checked.
Well, we obviously want that checked because I'm highly likely to put a page not quite straight on the scanner.
The speckle checked.
Yes, we want speckle removal on, or despeckle.
White on black checked. Language analyst checked. Discard blank pages unchecked. Emphasis text unchecked. Uncertain text unchecked. Uncertain text marker asterisk. Express match delay, 0. Okay.
Alright, so I haven't been able to change my scanner setting in there, but some very interesting things nonetheless.
We'll out of dialog.
Choose the OK button and go back to the settings menu.
File, add, scan, view, tool, settings, save the setting, retrieve, delete settings, speech on, speech set, visual set, scanning set, general settings, advanced settings, general settings.
Let's go into the general settings while we're having a look at settings and find out what we can change in here.
General settings, tones, checked.
Now, what does that do?
This setting controls the beeps that are heard while OpenBook is scanning. Use the spacebar to check or uncheck this item.
I'm just hitting F1 to get that help.
Tone, progress messages, checked.
Well, I don't... Well, yes, maybe we'll have them on for the time being.
Unknown shortcut keys, unchecked.
Well, now, I wondered where that was, because I'd like to get familiar as quickly as possible with the shortcut keys for applications, so yes, please.
Unknown shortcut keys, checked.
Much better.
Unknown dialog controls, unchecked.
Let's just see what that does.
Select this checkbox to have OpenBook announce what type of control each item in the dialog box is. The types are button, edit box, list box, combo box, checkbox, radio button, hotkey box control, and tab control. The default for this item is unchecked, that is, OpenBook will not announce dialog controls.
I think that, as a screen reader user, I would prefer to have that on.
Announce dialog controls, unchecked. D equals announce dialog controls, checkbox, checked.
Huh, it's behaving a bit like Window Eyes now, where it's giving you the D equals, for so you know that you would push Alt-D to get here.
E equals always start in edit mode, checkbox, unchecked.
So that's a good feature that you can, if you wish, have it always come up in edit mode. I'll leave that at its default for the moment, which is unchecked.
H equals hide spotlight for braille tracking, checkbox, unchecked. N equals announce page layout elements, checkbox, checked. U equals use numeric keypad for open book functions, checkbox, checked. C equals tactile mouse strength, combo box medium.
The new version of open book has support for this Rover, and I presume other, if possible, tactile mice, which we reviewed in main menu when we had a look at it at the ACB convention.
X equals extra pause after each sentence, combo box no extra pause.
Wonder what the rationale behind that is. Let's have a listen.
This setting allows you to control the length of time that speech is paused after reading a sentence. Select the amount of time to pause, from 0 to 3 seconds.
Okay, how interesting.
XM equals movement unit, combo box word. Cursor movement when using the control key plus the left or right arrow keys. It also controls what amount of text is highlighted during reading. You can choose character, word, sentence, line, or paragraph movement units. Movement unit is only active during read-only mode. S equals scanning hotkey. Hotkey box control alt S.
Well, that's useful to know. Control alt S will get me scanning. I presume an open book is active. That's normally my SoundForge hotkey, but what the heck.
O equals default file location, edit box C colon backslash my documents.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
F equals default file format, combo box arc and stone docs asterisk dot arc.
Well, let's see here.
Use this item to specify what you want OpenBook to use as its default file format. This refers to whether a file is saved as a Word file, a DOS text file, an Arkenstone file, or another file type. You must select from the list provided. This does not mean you can only save OpenBook files in the formats in this list. These are just the formats you can specify as the default. You can always select a different file format in the file save as dialog box. The default file format is Arkenstone docs, *ARK.
This is quite groovy because it means that if you're going to be doing a lot of scanning where you want the documents instantly available in Microsoft Word, rather than having to worry about going into the save as, you can just have them all saved as Microsoft Word files, I presume. Let's see what options we have.
F equals default file format, text files *.txt, DOS text files *.txt, DOS text files with line breaks *.txt, Word 6-8 for Win *.doc. RTF documents *.RTF.
RTF is quite a good format that's underrated quite often because it does attempt to preserve a lot of font and other format information, but it's also quite universally understood.
HTML *.HTM.
Now that's a very nice feature to be able to save your documents in the default state as web pages. We'll just stick with the defaults, though. I'll hit the home key to get to the top of this list.
Arkenstone docs *.arc.
And keep going.
B equals bucks can currency. Combo box US dollars.
Well, I wonder what else they have.
Canadian dollars.
Only US and Canadian dollars.
US.
Well, there you go.
G equals page layout delay. Combo box normal. Higher. Normal. Sugar. Normal.
What does this do?
This item tells OpenBook how long to pause before advancing to the next element in guided layout mode. The values are sugar, normal, and high.
Okay.
E equals page. L equals menu level. For classic menus only. Combo box advanced menus.
That's fine.
OK button.
There's the OK button.
Out of dialogue.
So actually, although I will sit down and have a look at the manual for an OpenBook, you can actually, if you're a reasonably savvy computer user, set this thing up very quickly with the excellent context-sensitive help. I'm very impressed with the level of detail in here.
F equals file. F, V, T, G equals settings.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so now we're getting the mnemonic, so I know now that Alt G gets me to the settings menu. Very good.
S equals save the settings. E equals email settings.
I'm just moving upwards.
A equals advanced settings.
To the advanced settings.
Advanced settings. U equals recognize text using combo box CRMTX. Recognita. Fine reader.
Now, this is an interesting thing. In version 5 of an open book, they have 3 scanner engines. And I'm wondering whether it gives us any guidance as to what to use and when.
Use this item to specify which OCR, optical character recognition, engine you want OpenBook to use to recognize scanned text. OpenBook has 3 OCR engines to choose from, CRMTX, Recognita, and Fine Reader. The default is the CRMTX engine. When you change OCR engines, the change will take effect with the next page you scan.
Well, it's probably beyond the scope of this review to really put all of those engines through their paces. But certainly I've found in other products that Fine Reader is quite nice.
U equals recognize text using combo box CRMTX. O equals automatically apply OCR corrections. Checkbox unchecked.
This is a feature that you may have seen in other products.
Select this item to have OpenBook automatically apply the OCR correction words to documents when they are scanned. OpenBook has an OCR corrections feature that allows you to specify text string replacements for words the OCR engine has not correctly identified. If you will be scanning types of documents that you know OpenBook has had trouble identifying, you should check this box so that you don't have to go through your scanned documents to apply corrections manually. The default setting for this item is unchecked.
Yeah, fair enough.
OP equals text type, combo box normal text. G equals recognition language, combo box American English.
Yep.
Y equals secondary language, combo box American English. F equals image format, combo box PCX.
Well, let's have a listen to what that does.
Allows you to specify the format for the file you scan using image-only scanning mode. You can use image-only scanning to create fax images or to scan pictures you want to save or send to someone. Check with your fax program to see which image formats it supports.
That's really quite nice.
FL equals left boundary in inches, edit box 0.
So much for those people who use centimeters, which is the rest of the world.
R equals right boundary in inches, edit box 0. T T equals top boundary in inches, edit box 0. B equals bottom boundary in inches, edit box 0.
I'm just tabbing through this dialog.
S equals scanner, combo box HP Twain desk scan.
Finally, let's see.
HP a coup page, unknown Twain using, desk scan the second 2.7. Unknown Twain using, mirror scan V3.40.
That's what I'm using.
No scanner.
So,
unknown Twain using, mirror scan V3.40.
That's hopefully going to fix my problem.
C equals allow scanner to finish when cancelling a scan, checkbox, unchecked. K equals black and white contrast uses brightness instead of threshold, checkbox, unchecked. W equals must close Twain after each scan, checkbox, unchecked.
Let's find out what that does.
Some scanners require that the Twain driver dialog box be opened and closed each time you scan a document. Others allow you to open the dialog box when set the first scan in your session, and keep it open. Select this item if your scanner requires that you close the Twain dialog box after each scan.
Alright.
The OK button.
Alright, it's the OK
dialog.
Button. Now, let's go into the scan menu.
S equals scan. S equals scan a page. Insert or F4.
Right, now we're getting some useful information here. So I'm going to hit the F4 key to scan a page and see what happens now.
Open book.
And here we have action from the scanner. Thank goodness for that. It's scanning away now. I have a book on the screen that I've been reading. Just one page of it at this point. The scan
and
is now
page one.
Finished.
Preparing image. Recognizing text. Pages sideways upside down. Index 267. 17. White. Paul. 212. 17. The mysterious death of 44. 68. 73.
Okay.
77.
It's reading that. Let me hit the F1 key and see what we get.
Press the speed key to start and stop reading the page that has been scanned, or press the scan key to scan another page. Use the move keys to move up, down, left, or right on the page. These keys are located around the select key, which is the one with the raised bump on it. Use the voice rate key to change the speed at which the voice speaks. When you are done reading this help message, select the close button to go back to reading your page, or select display help topics for more help. You may repeat this message by pressing Ctrl B. D equals display help topics button.
And now we can tab.
C equals close.
It does seem that unfortunately the help for this part of the program still seems to be centered around the keypad interface as opposed to the Windows interface. It seems like they need to just update this particular part of the help a little bit. But anyway, we have it working, and the first thing I'm going to do is to just save the default settings. So to do that, I'll hit Alt-G.
G equals settings. S equals save the settings.
Well, that's exactly what I want to do.
Save the settings. Select settings file, list box default.
And that's the one I want to save it in.
Question. Settings file default already exists. Do you want to override it? Choose yes or no. Y equals yes. Override button.
Yep, that's fine.
Out of dialog. Settings have been saved in file default.
So, I am very impressed that I was able to get this thing up and running pretty quickly. I suspect that had I not had a previous scanner that doesn't appear to have quite cleared itself out, it would have been even easier. So, I'm going to stop this part of the review here and read up on an open book and then come back and do some more looking at what it has to offer. It is the day after. It's day 2 of my trial evaluation of OpenBook, and I have taken some time to read the manual and become a bit familiar with the application and its features. Before we go back into an OpenBook to have another play, I do need to make a correction, and it's a bit of a sad one, to a statement that I made when I was recording yesterday as part of this trial evaluation. An OpenBook, like a number of software application vendors in the assistive technology market, unfortunately does assign a hotkey. Now, I don't have a difficulty, this is a pet peeve of mine, I have to say, so excuse me while I go on about it, but I don't have a problem with a hotkey being assigned. It makes things jolly useful in many instances, but I do like being told, no, actually, I like being asked what's going on my system, and nowhere did it say it was going to assign a Control-Alt-O as the shortcut key for an open book, and an open book is not the only application that does this, that just unilaterally goes ahead. What was more confusing was that the actual shortcut in the start menu of the OpenBook group in programs does not have the Control-Alt-O shortcut key assigned, Another thing that the OpenBook installation program didn't tell me was that it had actually put another shortcut on my desktop. I'd like to have been asked about that as well. And that was where the Control-Alt-O was living. And I actually found this out when I tried to bring up Microsoft Outlook 2000, which, it makes sense, is Control-Alt-O for Outlook. And I mean, it also makes sense to have Control-Alt-O for an open book. But anyway, so that's what happened. In the end, I deleted the shortcut off the desktop, and when I rebooted my machine, I got my Microsoft Outlook back on my Control-Alt-O. So there you go. Now, just so people don't spend lots of time sending me hate mail about this subject, it does indeed say in the README file that OpenBook has done this, but it doesn't tell you in the installation program, and it doesn't ask you if it's all right to do it. So that's my beef on that particular subject. Now, let's go back into an OpenBook and have a play with some of the features that I've been fooling with over the last little while. I have JAWS running today, so that's equity. And we'll just go in here to OpenBook. It's a beautiful tune, but I must see if there's a way of disabling that. Perhaps it's in the .ini file, because I understand that OpenBook has all sorts of cool things buried away in the .ini file. Okay, now I'm going to turn the speech down. That's the speed that I generally have it for. Listening, for reading. I would have it perhaps a little faster if I was just skimming, but that's my default speed for reading, and I appreciate that might be a bit too fast for some people, so we'll try and slow it down. Now, the first thing that I was very impressed with an open book, it's a feature that is found in other products too, of course, in the adaptive technology market, is what an open book calls the key describer. I think this is a remnant from the keypad interface, but it still works for all of the keys, and it is the number pad 1, and if I hit that now,
key describer turned on.
That's the key describer turned on, because that will help me work out, as a fairly new user to this, where to speed up and slow down the speech. I'm pretty sure it's at the top of the number pad.
Help key.
That's the help key, so I was wrong.
Help key. Increase reading speed.
That's increase reading speed, and hopefully with shift.
Decrease reading speed.
Yeah. So that's good. So I can safely push all sorts of keys.
Dictionary.
And what else?
The source.
And
save the file.
Yeah, so all sorts of useful things. I'm just hitting keys, Control D.
Dictionary.
Control T.
The source.
Control S.
Save the file.
Well, what does Control Q do? Nothing. So that's useful. And it's a way of getting familiar with the application. So I'm going to turn key describer off now by hitting the same key I just hit.
No pages.
I'm sorry.
Key describer turned on. Key describer turned off.
There we go. And now I'm going to use shift and this key here.
Slower, slower.
To slow down to a level that hopefully most people will find acceptable.
Slower, 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 slower.
Oh, I see.
Slower, 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 slower.
It's a toggle.
Slower.
I mean, it recycles. Let's just have a listen to that.
Key describer turned on. Key describer turned off.
That's interesting. It's not,
faster. Key describer turned on. Key describer turned off.
So I see what's happening here. It's actually just slowing the reading voice down, because OpenBook has a number of voices. This is also pretty common in this sort of assistive technology application. So you've got your reading voice and a message voice and an emphasis voice, and those keys seem to be just slowing down the reading voice. So we'll take care of that in a moment when we go into the speech settings dialog, but let's proceed for the time being. I'm going to push Control N to start a new document.
New document.
And I do like the fact that one of the real bonuses of an open book is that it does seem through its menu interface to adhere to Windows conventions very strictly. So Control N is new document. And if you are used to Windows, that is a big bonus if you're trying to get familiar with this application quickly. I'm going to scan a couple of pages now. I've changed my settings quite a bit since I started this review. I've told it that in this particular settings file, I want 2 pages per scan. The advantage of this mode is that it doesn't just try and decolumnize, but it also seeks to determine what's page 1 and what's page 2 so that the page numbers are kept consistent as you move through the document. And that sometimes can be really important, of course, if you're scanning some text for university or some study or other, and you need to have the page reference accurate. So I've got 2 page mode on. I've got a paperback book on the scanner, and I have the Fine engine, which I hear tell is pretty good for recognition, as my recognition engine. And now I'm going to hit any number of keys, actually, but the easiest one is that when you're not in edit mode, which you can incidentally now have turned on when you load an open book, but if you're not in edit mode, you can just hit the space bar, which is a nice handy scan key, and it's scanning. I have it set to scan for accuracy, not for speed, and I also have the page elements connecting feature turned on. I love this a lot. I'm going to show you how that works when we have a couple of pages in the scanner. I've also had it set to background scan, and that's an interesting feature because it seems to me that you actually have to wait for a little ping noise. I wonder if we can pick it up. There you go. That comes over the keyboard speaker, and you seem to have to wait for that noise before you can scan the next page. This is the background scanning mode, but apart from, you know, listening out for that ping noise, for want of a better term, you can have it scan and read at the same time, which is a nice feature. And to start the reading, I simply hit the number pad enter key.
136.10.sicon.sicu.y. XY1, for example, he told the inquiry, the check issued by European Pacific Bank on July 27, 1988 was numbered 88,000.
It's reading it correctly. You'll notice that it made a comment about text block 1. A really nice feature of an open book version 5 is that I can now hit Control Shift Y and it will give me a kind of a picture of what's on the page.
Page 1 has 3 text blocks, 1 column, 1 header, and 1 heading.
Let's go into the speech settings dialog.
F equals scan the page, search for F4, other menu, G equals setting, F equals save the setting. R equals repeat, O equals speech, and T equals speech setting. Speech settings, S equals voice selection, combo box reading voice, A equals apply settings to all voices, checkbox, unchecked, A
yes,
equals
I
apply settings, N equals reading voice name, R equals reading voice rate, B equals,
okay,
R equals reading voice rate,
right.
Combo box 262,
let's just
276,
take it down,
234, 220,
about there,
out of dialogue,
and now hopefully that's fixed that problem. So, we have this message here.
Page 1 has 3 text blocks, 1 column, 1 header, and 1 heading.
That is really nice, particularly if you're on a page that might have pictures and different things like that. You can get a brief summary of what the page is like. Now, this is such a cool feature that I'm going to spend a bit more time on this. And in the OpenBook package, they do supply a file which allows us to play with this page layout mode a lot more. So, let's get into that. To do that, I'm just going to hit Control-O to open a file, and I'm presented with a standard Windows Open File dialog.
Select a file to open, N equals file name, edit box, asterisk.arc.
And there we go with the file name there.
List control backups.
I'm in the OpenBook directory now, and there are a number of subdirectories. I'm just going to hit M to get to the file that has all the structured stuff, and it's called Mutiny.
List control mutiny.arc.
There we go. We'll hit Enter to open it.
Document C:\opin5mutiny.arc open.
You just go to the top of the file, and, well, it must be there. And I have set this up so that it is reporting to me automatically the different elements on the page as it reads through. But before we even start to read that, let's get a kind of a visual concept of what's on this page. Let's do a Control Shift Y.
Page 1 has 5 text blocks, 2 columns, 1 header, 1 footer, 1 heading, and 1 graphic.
We can, of course, go to page 2.
Page 2.
And have a look at what's on that page.
Page 2 has 8 text blocks, 2 columns, 1 footer, and 1 graphic.
Now, I'm not sure how many pages are in here.
No more pages.
There's no more pages, so...
Page 1.
We'll go to page 1. Now, when I start to read this, you'll hear those elements being announced.
The true story of the mutiny on the Bounty. Text block 1. This is the true story of the mutiny on board the ship called the Bounty. It is a story that has been told, told again, and told incorrectly. It is a story full of adventure, passion, and mystery. And best of all, it's true. Graphic 1, heading 1, the Bounty sets sail in 1787. Text block 2, in 1787, the Bounty sets sail from England to its eventual destination, Tahiti. Its mission was to collect sampling breath retreat.
So, you heard it say graphic 1, heading 1. So this is not something you might necessarily want on all the time, but if you're proofing a document, or if it's important for you to get a visual perspective of how the page looks, then this is just amazing, really. Now, I'm going to go to the top of the file. There are a number of ways I can deal with these elements. For example, it can walk you through, I guess mainly because of the tactile mouse that it supports, the elements. If you hit Control-Shift-F5, I can also hit Control-Shift-Down-Arrow, and it will take me to the next element. For instance,
Text Block 1.
I'm now at the beginning of Text Block 1. If I hit Control-Shift-Down-Arrow again,
Graphic 1.
That's the next element.
Heading 1. Text Block 2. Column 2. Text Block 3. Text Block 4. Text Block 5. Footer 1.
And there's the footer.
Page 1. Column 1. Page 2. Taking over the shift.
Okay. So, I can also move up.
Text Block 1. Column 1. Column 1. Footer 1. Text Block 5.
I'm moving back up the page with Control Shift Up Arrow. This really does allow you to get a picture in your head of how the page is laid out, and it's really nice. I'll just close this
untitled
document now with Control F4. Another feature I was quite taken with, and I'll just choose another page from this book or set of pages, which incidentally is called The Paradise Conspiracy 2 by Ian Wishart. It's about an ongoing issue to do with tax avoidance slash evasion allegedly going on here. I'm going to now go to the scan menu.
S equals scan a page, insert, or F4. R equals scan and replace current page. Control Shift F4, inactive.
So what that would do is it would replace the current page that you were reading. If, for example, you had some problem with the quality of it, maybe the scan just didn't work right for whatever reason.
I equals scan and insert new page, inactive.
This would insert the page that you were about to scan at the current position, because by default, and this makes sense, if you scan a document, it would place the new scan page at the end of the document that was currently open.
P equals scan preview, control keypad 0.
Scan preview, and the shortcut key is control keypad 0. This is a really good feature as well. When you get a whole lot of mail, you can't be sure which of it is junk mail and which of it is mail you really need to use. Of course, sometimes you can because of the glossy brochures and stuff, but there may even be some glossy brochures that you want to read. So, this is the scan preview feature. Let's hit this key and see what it does. The scan is active now. And you'll notice that it's only scanned a very little bit.
II1, 1.11, Jlijlij 1, text block 1, equals SS1.1I2 is a, section O0E6, colon, 1L21S.1, 3 section right angle bracket AOU, S period S dash S period GOJ2, I agree, ill section A5, ill I lively.
Well, it didn't do a very nice job of that, but what it's supposed to do is, it's supposed to read a small bit of the page and tell you what's on the page, just enough so that you know whether you want to investigate it further. I don't quite know why it behaved that way, and of course, I'm really just getting to grips with this program myself, being on day 2 of a timed evaluation. But the scan preview is certainly a good theory. When you use that scan preview feature, a new document is opened, and so if you quickly get a piece of mail or something you want to check, you can just use that preview feature, and a new document will be opened. You can quickly check out what's going on and close the document to get back to the book you were reading, if that's what you need to do. Really quite good. Now, I have done that. I just hit Alt F4. I'm back into my book, the couple of pages of which I've scanned. I'm going to turn view to exact view by just hitting Alt V.
V equals view. H equals show exact view.
And
Control Shift V.
Hit Enter. And exact of course, view. As I become more competent, I would hear that Control Shift V is the shortcut key to quickly get me back to exact view. What exact view has done is put a image on the screen that reflects exactly how the page appeared. Now let's move to a word here.
One on the end. Questions about his role in the tax credit deals were European.
Okay, let's move to the word tax by hitting Control Right Arrow.
About his role in the tax.
It's actually quite nice and responsive as I do that with the DeckTalk Access 32 running. Let's say that I wanted a definition of tax. Now, of course, people's definitions of tax will vary. I can just hit Control D for dictionary.
Dictionary, W equals selected word, edit box tax, D equals definition, edit box tax noun 1, a sum of money levied by government on income, property, or sales and used for its services and administration, 2, a difficult or burdensome obligation, strain, transitive verb 1, to impose a tax on, 2, to demand a tax from, 3, to place a difficult or burdensome obligation on, he taxed his resources beyond endurance, 4, to censure, accuse, charge, the court taxed him with the crime of murder.
Let's move through this dialogue. So it spoke the word that was selected, and then it spoke the definition. In fact, multiple definitions of the word tax.
E equals show expanded definition. Checkbox, unchecked.
Now, the expanded definition was not checked, so if I check it...
E equals show expanded definition. Checkbox, checked.
This is a standard checkbox, so I simply pushed the spacebar to check it.
E equals switch to thesaurus, button.
So you can move straight from the dictionary to the thesaurus in this dialogue.
S equals read sentence, button.
Now, if I read the sentence, I'll just hit that with the spacebar.
Questions about his role in the tax credit deals were European.
So it's done its best to read at least part of the sentence. I think if the sentence is too long and it can't find punctuation within certain boundaries, it only reads the current line. But that gives you the context.
C equals close button. W equals selected word. Edit box tax.
Now, I'm going to tab to the next edit box, and we should hear something different now because I've turned the expanded definition on.
D equals definition, edit box tax noun 1, a sum of money levied by government on income, property, or sales and used for its services and administration, 2, a difficult or burdensome obligation, strain, transitive verb 1, to impose a tax on, 2, to demand a tax from, 3, to place a difficult or burdensome obligation on, he taxed his resources beyond endurance, 4, to censure, accuse, charge, the court taxed him with the crime of murder.
So that's the dictionary, I'm just going to hit escape to get out of it. And we're now back in our document. We can also get a thesaurus lookup for the word tax simply by hitting Control T. And all of these are available from the menus if you forget the mnemonics.
Thesaurus, W equals selected word, edit box tax, Y equals synonyms, edit box definition 1 : a sum of money levied by government on income, property, or sales and used for its services and administration, synonym list, levy revenue definition 2 : a difficult or burdensome obligation, strain, synonym list, strain load definition 3 : to impose a tax on, synonym list, tariff definition 4 : to place a difficult or burdensome obligation on, synonym list, burden over tax, strain, stress, encumber, force, try definition 5 : to censure, accuse, charge, synonym list, accuse, censure, charge, criticize, indict, rebuke, arraign.
The really nice feature about this is that the dictionary and the thesaurus are clearly very much interlinked, and so you get the dictionary definition here, and then you get the synonyms. Let's just move through the dialogue.
D equals switch to dictionary, button. S equals read sentence, button.
I'm just tabbing through, and you'll see the controls are fairly similar to those in the dictionary dialogue.
C equals close, but W equals selected word, edit box tag, Y equals synonyms, edit box, D equals switch to dictionary.
So, they don't appear to be antonyms, but maybe there's a way of doing that. Let's just hit F1.
Give synonyms for the selected word.
Alright. So the context sensitive helps very cool. Let's just hit the escape key.
Y equals synonym, edit box.
There are other tools as well. Let's look at the tools menu for more info.
T equals tools, S equals spell check, F7, inactive.
Now I'm not quite sure why the spell check is inactive. Again, this perhaps stems from my lack of knowledge of the product, but perhaps you need to save the document first. So should we try doing
out
that?
Out of the menus.
We'll just hit Control S.
Select a file to save to. N equals file name. Edit box.
And we'll call this test.
T-E-S-T.
And tab to see what else is in this dialogue.
T equals files of type. Combo box archinstone docs asterisk dot arc.
So that's the default and we'll leave it at that for the moment.
S equals save button. Cancel button. U equals up one level button. F equals new folder button. I equals look in. Combo box my documents. List control download.
We're in a pretty standard file save dialog, and it's going to save the file in the My Documents folder as test.arc. And I really do like the fact that this is a perfectly standard Windows save dialog box. I'm going to hit enter.
Out of dialog. Documents /my/documents/test.arc saved.
And it confirms the save. Now let's go back into the tools menu.
Key equals tools. S equals spell check. F7. Inactive.
It's still inactive. So I have no idea what the secret is there and why, having saved this, I can't do a spell check. I'm sure that it's something that I've missed. Let's see what else there is.
P equals tools. F equals spell check. F7. Inactive. P equals spell works phonetically. Shift F3.
So that's a nice feature.
R equals word count. Shift F7.
Let's do a quick word count on this and see what it does.
Please note, there are 793 words in test.arc. O equals OK. Button. Out of time.
Very simple, but really good to know, especially if you are using this to read an essay. And that's one of the things about some of these new reading packages for the blind, that you can do so much more than just scan a document and read. Because they read so many file formats, they can actually be very effective for just reading documentation that you need to read. And you may well find that, given that you've got a dictionary and a thesaurus and all the tools in here, that you actually do your draft and read an essay using something like an open book.
T equals tools. S equals spell check. F7. Inactive. R equals word count. Shift. D equals dictionary. H equals thesaurus. K equals key settings on. F11.
Okay, that is a feature where you enable a set of keys that you can custom define. I suspect they actually should be off, so I'm going to hit enter to turn them off.
Key settings turned on.
Oh, well, I didn't want them on.
Key settings turned off.
There we go, they were off. So that's an interesting menu option. I think that might be a little clearer,
key
but I guess
tools.
It's just what
F
you get used to.
F equals spell check. F7, inactive. K equals key settings on. F11. N equals pronunciation dictionary.
This is something that you'll find in most standard programs these days of an adaptive variety. If you find that your synthesizer isn't pronouncing something correctly, you can go in here. Let's just briefly do that.
W equals word, edit box.
And here's a field where you type in the word. I think you can select it and it would be filled in automatically.
P equals pronunciation, edit box.
Here's where you'd type in the misspelling that sounds right.
P equals case sensitive, check box, unchecked.
That's just to confirm whether you want it to apply to all situations or just specifically with the case you've entered.
T equals test button.
And you can test it here.
A equals add button.
And then add button.
D equals delete button. C equals close button. L equals word list. List box no selection.
And that's a pretty standard dictionary. What else have we got in the tools
menu? P equals tools.
Just quickly
equals spell check.
Arrowing down here.
Inactive.
And sometimes I find that the arrowing up and down is a little bit sluggish in the menus. I'm not sure what contributes to that.
H equals the sort K, N equals...
But now it's fine. It seems to be just the first option.
N equals pronunciate, O equals OCR correction.
This is a very similar thing to the pronunciation dictionary. If you're finding that the OCR engine you're using is consistently misrecognizing something, you can actually enter something here to try and correct that. Very nice feature. And some people who are real sticklers for accuracy have built up some fascinating and quite complex corrections files.
E equals email. F5.
We're going to get to that in just a second because there's a lot of interest in that.
T equals start page description. Control shift Y. G equals enter guided layout mode. Control shift F5. X equals enter explore layout mode. Control shift enter. I equals change speech driver.
Without any further ado, let's take a look at the email settings. Obviously, it's impossible to cover such a complex program in such a short time. The help is very comprehensive, and I'd like to just briefly show you how that works. We can go with Alt H for the help menu.
H equals help. S equals search for help on.
Well, we can search for help on something. Let's see how effective that is. I'm going to hit enter.
Search help. Type the first letter of the search for. Combo box.
All right. We'll type the first letter. And I think we'll search for E for email.
Edit menu.
And I wonder if I just keep going.
Match case.
No. So I have to type E.
Edit menu. Edit mode. Editing.
I see. And I'm hitting E repeatedly.
Edit menu. Edit mode. Editing. Editing keys. Email.
There's email. Now what, I tab?
OK, button, chance, type the for OK.
Right, I'll put OK.
Email, OpenBook version 5.0 includes an email program, OpenBook's email programming.
And here we are. Now we're not in a standard Windows help type system, which is understandable really, given that OpenBook as a reading system, we are actually in a standard openbook.arc file, an Arkenstone file, and all the commands are now available to me that you'd expect. For example,
program email.
I wonder what happens if I bring up the dictionary for email.
Please note, definition not found. O equals OK.
Button. Okay, well, you know, that's interesting. So, we're now in the documentation that tells us all about the email. I'm going to close that with Control F4.
Test.arc.
And I'm back in test.arc. It tells me the document name. You recall that's the couple of pages of my book that I scanned. And again, the fact that you close a document with Control F4, I personally really like the Windows consistency of this. Let's go into the settings menu with Alt G.
G equals settings.
And
F
in this
equals
case, I'm going to up arrow.
G equals email settings.
Because there's the email settings. Let's go in and set up our email.
Email settings. N equals name. Edit box.
Yes, I think I can answer that question.
N equals name, edit box, Jonathan Mosen.
Okay.
E equals email address, edit box.
And I put
JOAAAN@SIMOSEN.ORG.
And tab.
S equals SMTP server, edit box.
Now in this case, I'm going to set up my mail and news account for this test, so I will put mail
mailandnews.com. U equals user login name, edit box.
And my user login name is J Mosen.
J-M-O-S-E-N. P equals password. Edit box.
And I'm going to type my password and hope that there's no echo. There is no echo. I presume it's putting in star characters or something, but we're not getting keyboard echo.
V equals save password. Checkbox. Unchecked.
Yes, I'll save it.
V equals save password. Checkbox. Checked.
I hit the space bar.
3 equals pop 3 server. Edit box.
And again, I'll just put mail@news.com.
T equals time displayed as 24-hour. Checkbox unchecked.
Yes, I'll have that. No, I won't. We'll leave it that way.
L equals leave mail on server. Checkbox unchecked.
We'll leave that unchecked.
R equals automatic disconnect after send or receive. Checkbox unchecked.
That's right. And let's just see how good the context sensitive helpers. I'll just hit F1 on this.
Select this checkbox to have OpenBook disconnect from the internet as soon as you have completed sending or receiving your messages. The default is unchecked. Note, you must save the settings if you want this information to be available the next time that you run OpenBook.
Well, there you go.
Alright.
Okay.
Okay, button.
And that's all there is, I think.
Cancel equals apply, button, tab control, email settings, N equals name, F.
Now, you'll hear it say tab control email settings. This is another good feature. Once you get into any one of these settings options, whether it be for email settings or advanced or general settings, you can control tab between them as you can in a standard Windows multi-page dialog. I'm going to hit enter.
Please note, you have modified your email settings. If you want these settings to remain after you exit OpenBook, you must save the settings. O equals OK button.
Well, that's very friendly of it.
Please retype your password. Edit box.
Okay, I will. Just a second. I'm just typing my password again. It's a long password. The longer the password,
okay,
the safer it is.
Out of dialogue.
Okay, now, we're all set up. And to be honest, it's been a wee while since I checked my mail and news account, and I have no idea what to expect. But mail and news, just as a sideline, is an excellent free mail provider. They do web-based email, POP3, which is pretty standard, but they also do IMAP, which is a much better mail protocol than POP3. And maybe we need to talk about that on a main menu sometime. I'm going to hit F5, which I have learnt, takes me into the email. It's also available from the tools menu, as we saw before.
F equals folder, combo box and box.
Now I'm in an OpenBox email. And I'm in a list of folders that has been created by default. Well, let's hit F1 to see if it tells me what I can do.
This is the list of available folders. OpenBook automatically puts all new messages in the inbox folder. OpenBook puts all messages you sent in the outbox folder. You can create other folders to store messages in. OpenBook's email system will always open to the inbox folder.
Nice and clear. And I can now hit the down arrow.
F equals folder. Combo box and box. Outbox.
And we've got the inbox.
Inbox.
And the outbox.
Inbox. Outbox. Inbox.
Yeah, you get the idea. I'm just up and down arrowing through there. Now, if I tab through what we're in here,
P equals compose button.
This will allow me to send a message, and I'm going to do that now because I'm not sure if I'm going to get any messages from my mail and news account otherwise.
Edit box, O equals to edit box.
It's asking me who I want to send the message to, so I'm going to type my mail and news address, which I seldom use.
JMOSEN@mailandnews.com.
And push tab.
Colon equals CC, edit box.
Now, let's say you're a newcomer to email, and I suspect that OpenBook is actually aiming at fairly newcomers to email. What does the CC thing do? Let's hit F1.
Write the names or email addresses of all the people you want to copy this message to. You can enter names directly from the address book if you want. You must separate each name or address with either a semicolon, or a comma, comma. OpenBook will recognize either of these as separators.
Very nice.
Colon equals CC, B equals BCC, edit box.
And again.
Write the names or email addresses of all the people you want to send blind copies of this message to. These names will not show up on anyone else's copy of the message. If the regular recipients, those in the 2 and CC fields, reply to the message, the BCC recipients will not be included in the reply list. You can enter names directly from the address book.
All right. They really have got to be given 10 out of 10 for the context, sensitivity, and the relevance of the help in this version. Very nice.
J equals subject, edit box.
And for the subject, well, let's put open book.
Tab T.
Test. And hit tab.
M equals attachments, list control.
Now, what am I to do?
If you attach any files to the message, they will be listed here.
Okay. Well, I haven't, and so they won't.
An email message.
Now.
Press the speed key to start and stop reading the current email message. Use the move keys to move up, down, left, or right on the page. These keys are located around the select key, which is the one with the raised bump on it. Use the voice rate key to change the speed at which the voice speaks. When you are done reading this help message, select the close button to go back to read out of...
I'm just going to type a quick email message, then this is clearly where I type it. And I will just type, hello... Oh, good, I've lost my keyboard echo, which I'm delighted about. I don't normally like it turned on. This is a test of OpenBook's email facilities. I presume if I tab...
S equals send button.
I've got a back tab.
A equals attach file button.
Okay, I've got...
K equals address...
By back tabbing, I seem to have got into this series of buttons.
An email message.
Yes.
S equals send button.
You have to shift tab to get to these. If you just hit tab, it looks like you're putting a tab character in the email body, which is reasonable.
An email message. S equals send. An email message. S equals send button.
And it appears once you've back tabbed to the send button, you then have to forward tab to the rest of the buttons.
A equals attach file button. K equals address book button. C equals cancel button. O equals to edit box motion.
There we go. Now, that's a bit unorthodox, but of course, if you're really using this on a day-to-day basis, you would just hit Alt S for send.
Sending email. Status. Edit box. Sending email message. Cancel button.
Now, it's making a little click over its keyboard speaker. And I presume it's now seeking to send the message. The time it's taking...
Message sent. F equals folder.
...is a bit ominous, but it did do it. And it confirmed that the message is sent. So...
Outbot in box. P equals compose, E equals check for email, A equals add folder button.
I'm now tabbing through the options here.
B equals address book button.
These are just regular buttons, and because of the way I have OpenBook set up, it's giving me the mnemonics, which are useful to remember.
C equals close button, F equals folder, combo box in box.
Now if I hit enter... No? Okay, well,
P equals compose, but E equals check for email button.
Let's do that. We're going to hit Alt-E, which is check for email.
Receiving email status, edit box connecting to mail server. Cat status, edit box downloading 14 messages.
Oh,
cancel
goodness.
Button.
There are quite a few messages here. Wonder where they come from. But that's nice. It tells you how many messages it's downloading. and you can hear that click over the keyboard speaker to tell you that progress is happening. I'm a little interested in how long it takes because I have a DSL connection, but it may just be that there's congestion on the network or something. It's there are so many variables with the internet, but it is downloading and we're getting that click, and I can occasionally hear the hard disk doing stuff.
Subject, open book test, R equals read button.
Here we are with the list of messages.
F equals subject, open book test.
Subject, open book test. Now you notice that it doesn't tell me who the message is from.
PDF. Open book test. PDF-IKJ. Net audio. Friday's session. Convention broadcast.
Now these are messages from when I was in Louisville.
Ways to get a hold of you.
Well, how nice.
Convention coverage update.
Now, you'll notice that it's just saying the subject names. If you want to hear who the messages are from, you've got to hit the right arrow key in this list.
Center, Jonathan Mosen. Status, unread.
I'm hitting the right arrow key.
Date, 12/10/00, 12:36.
And that's all there is.
Status, center, subject, open book.
So, for example,
PDF.
There's one called PDF.
Center, Hillian Surica.
And there's the sender. So you have to actually, if you want to hear what the subject and the sender is, you have to hit right arrow over every message, and then
Sean Barrett.
Now, as I'm on the sender column, it's only going to read me the senders as I up and down arrow. So that's just sort of a funny concept, really. And there's also no way, I guess I would prefer to have a feature that would allow me to have the fields that I want to have read one after the other. For example, what I'd like to hear is the sender followed by the subject, and that's all. I'm not too interested in the date. I want to have the date information available, but perhaps with the press of a key. In this instance, you've got to press a key every time you want the sender. Or if you switch to that column, you've got to press a key every time you want to go back and check the subject. So I'm now going to go back.
Subject, open book test.
I push the left arrow, and if I hit enter, that will activate the default button, which is read.
Edit button, email message. Hello, this is a test of OpenBook's email facilities.
And that's read the message. I'm going to hit F1.
Press the speed key to start and stop reading the current email message. Use the move keys to move up, down, left, or right on the page. These keys are located around the select key, which is the one.
So that's the same message that we heard up when we were composing a message. I'm now going to tab through the options here.
R equals reply button.
I'm actually back tabbing to get that. R equals reply, so I can just hit Alt R to reply to this message.
An email message.
And now I've got to hit tab again once I've back-tabbed.
P equals reply all button.
So there's a reply and a reply to all function. Very sensible.
W equals forward button. K equals add to address book button.
That's a nice feature that you can add the sender to the address book. Let's just do that. I'll add myself to the address book.
New address. N equals name or group. Edit box Jonathan Mosen. P equals e-mail addresses. Edit box Jonathan at mosen.org.
That's fair enough.
A equals add address to group, combo box.
And there are no groups, I presume, set up yet. No, I don't get any feedback when I'm arrowing.
G equals add to group, button. O equals OK, button. K equals...
So I'm now added to the address book as jonathan@mosen.org. Very nice.
C equals close, button. F equals from, edit box, jonathan. O equals to, edit. J equals subject. N equals date sent, edit, an email message.
So when you are in the message, you've got your to from subject fields pretty much like you would have if you were in Outlook or Outlook Express. I believe that Alt D will delete the message. Nope.
This is the first.
Maybe I have to escape out of it.
Subject.
And then hit Alt D.
Please note, are you sure you want to delete message open book test? Y equals yes button.
Now.
N equals no button. Y equals.
Unfortunately, there's no checkbox here that says don't ask me this anymore, so you're going to have to hit Alt D and then Y, unless of course it's in the INI file that I haven't had to play with.
Message deleted. PDF.
Now we're back in the subject list and we can just go through all of these messages, which I probably should do, because some of them have been clearly hanging around since July. The address book, we've had a brief look at that.
F equals folder, combo box in box, C equals closed, V equals address book, A equals add folder, but V equals move to folder.
So you can move a message to a folder that you may have added. For example, I could create a folder here called pending for messages that require my action, and then I could move the message to the folder.
E equals check for email, but E equals compose button.
And that is essentially the email client. The good thing about this, and I know there's been a bit of discussion about, well, why do people need an email client in a scanning package? If you're somebody who does not own a screen reader, and you do have an open book, and you gradually build up confidence with a computer, maybe you're not quite able to afford a screen reader, but you've purchased OpenBook anyway. This is a very respectable email client. Having said that, there are a couple of odd things about it, such as the fact that you can't have who the message is from and the subject of the message read at once. That is a bit interesting. And that may well come with another release as they get feedback from customers. The other thing is, I suppose, possibly the difference between an expert email user and one who's just getting into it. When you're using email a lot to read mail on lots of email lists, such as the GW Micro list for Windows use, or the Blind Tech and PC Audio lists that I run, or the JFW list, that kind of thing, you may be getting 200 to 300 messages a day from the one list. If you don't have rules so that all of your mail from your different lists are sorted into different folders. For example, whenever my mail comes down the pipe, as soon as it sees that a message is from Blind Tech, it puts it in the Blind Tech folder so that I have all my personal mail easily accessible in the Blind Tech and GW Micro and JFW and PC Audio mail in separate folders for when I have time to read it. Well, you know, you're going to go nuts if you have, like I do, well over 1,000 messages a day coming in and you don't have a way to automatically process, filter the mail. There is no way to do that in this client, and I guess it's version 1.0 effectively of the email client, so we have to be gentle on it. Hopefully that might come in a future version, because really it is an extremely respectable email client. It's friendly, the context sensitive help is great. If people just remember to hit F1, it's a nice little email client. But there are those couple of oddities. And the good thing about it is that it does retain Windows conventions. I'm very strong about that, because I think it's important that application vendors, even though they're in a self-contained, customized Windows environment, seek to introduce users who may well upgrade in the future to a full Windows-based screen reader, to Windows concepts. So, well done to those involved for preserving Windows concepts. So that's an open book, version 5, on sale now for $995. If you have a previous version of open book, you can upgrade. I believe it's $100 to upgrade from Ruby Edition to version 5. Sometimes I think some of these scanner manufacturers do have competitive upgrades from other products. I am not sure whether that applies in this case, but if you want to find out further information, you can go to www.freedomscientific.com. Or their sales number is 1-800-444-4443.